So we're reviewing the first seven psukim we just learned. The word Eicha has the numerical value of 36. There are 36 transgressions that a person can do and get the punishment of karet, as the opening Mishnah tells us in Kritut. Eicha is 36. How many days were there? We begin the book of Devarim. Eile ha-Devarim asher diber Moshe. Eile is the same gematria as Eicha. Same 36. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to talk for 36 days in the book of Devarim. Eicha is the same letters as Ayeka. When Hashem appears to Adam, Hashem appears to Adam after Adam ate from the forbidden fruit, which is the first time that anyone or any creature on the planet looked negatively upon God's creation. Adam eats from the forbidden fruit with the thought that Hashem is trying to hold something back from him. So he's going to enjoy that fruit. So we were discussing Eicha being the starting point when Adam viewed what Hashem did in the world negatively. Adam thought Hashem's withholding from me something good. That's when Hashem asks him, Ayeka, where are you? Adam began by looking at Hashem and saying, you're not giving me from the best fruit. The serpent was able to convince the woman that the best fruit Hashem kept for himself. And you guys have nothing compared to what you could have in this garden. Hashem appears to Adam after he's eaten from the forbidden fruit and says, where are you? And when Hashem asks a question, Hashem is not asking for an answer. Hashem is asking a question to enlighten us with the question. So Hashem asks Adam, where are you? The whole Megillah of Eicha, Chazal say, is purposely the same letters as Ayeka. The Megillah Eicha is a question. How did it come to this? The whole point of the Megillah is that we should question ourselves, how did we get to such a destruction? The Megillah gives us some insights. But the root of it is the question, Eicha, how did it get there? Chazal tell us in the first Pasuk, Rabati Vagoyim, that Jerusalem was known among the nations for its brilliance. So there are many stories in the Medrash on these two words, Rabati Vagoyim. There's a story about a guy who was traveling with his servant. He saw he was going to die. So he told his servant, he said, I'm giving you everything I own but one thing. Go back to my son and let him have one thing from all my wealth. The rest is yours. You've been a faithful servant. I love you. You're amazing. And so I'm giving you everything I own. The guy comes back to Jerusalem. He goes to the lad and he says, ha! Your father signed a document with me. He died and he gave me everything. You go pick one thing from all the wealth in the house and then the rest, the manor and all the wealth is mine. So the kid goes to his Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, what am I supposed to do? My father for sure wouldn't want to give it to him. He's a cheat and a scoundrel and there's no way my father wants to give it to him. But there's a document and it's signed by my father and that's what he said. So the rabbi says, what does the document say? He says, the document says the servant can have everything but one thing in the house. So the rabbi tells the student, your father was a wise man from Jerusalem. He knew that if he tells the servant to come back home to you with all his wealth, there's no way the servant would do it. But by doing this ploy, he got you all his wealth back. What did he say? You should have one thing. Tell the servant the only thing you want is him. You're holding on to possession of him, and then everything he owns becomes yours. So your father ensured that you would get back all his business and all his wealth. He outsmarted the servant. The servant brought it all back for you, and he thinks you're not getting any of it. But that's how your father ensured you would get it back. The Medrash says there was once a young man whose father traveled from Jerusalem, and his father passed away with all his wealth. And the people of the town said, we have to ensure it's his son. How could we know? He comes from Jerusalem, so we'll have to test his brilliance. So they made a pact between them that no one's supposed to reveal to anyone else. When strangers come to town, you're not allowed to tell them who anyone is. So the kid knew that his father was by a family with such and such a name, but he didn't know who that family was. So the kid comes out to town. And he's standing around town. He sees a man carrying the cheapest thing, a stack of wood. So he tells the guy, I'd like to buy that stack of wood. He says, really? Okay. Where should I drop it off? So he says, it's a gift. Take it to family so-and-so and tell them I've bought him a gift, this stack of wood. Here's the money. He gives the guy the few pennies for the stack of wood, and the guy goes to deliver the wood. Meanwhile, the young man is walking behind him, following him to see where he's going to take him. And with that, he's passed test one. The guy delivers the wood. The family asks him, what'd you deliver the wood for? We didn't order this. He says, right, that young man out there ordered it for you. So they ask him, and who are you? He says, my father was by you when he passed away. I am so-and-so. They say, okay, come on in. He passed test one. He found their house without asking anyone in town who they were. When they sit down to the meal, the head of the house tells him, why don't you divide the food? So he says, I'm a guest. It's not their heritage. I should be dividing the food. You're the host. You should be dividing the food. The host says, no, you divide the food. So they place before him, at the table were sitting the husband and his wife, two daughters, two sons, and the guest. And they placed before him five little chickens. And they said, divide them. So he says, you sure? They say, yeah. So he takes one little chicken and he puts it by the host. He takes another little chicken and he says, this is for the two daughters. He takes another little chicken, he puts it by the two sons, and then he takes two chickens for himself. So they said, why is that fair? So he said, I matched singles with pairs. Your two daughters are a pair, I matched them with a single chicken. Your two sons are a pair, I matched that pair with a single chicken. You and your wife are a pair, I matched you with a single chicken. I'm left alone, so I matched me with a pair of chickens. He said, you asked me to divide. I matched singles and pairs, that's all. So I said, okay, pass test two. They come to the evening meal, and again, they bring out this big chicken, and they say, divide it. And he says, I told you there. Herod says, you're the host. You're supposed to divide the food. He says, no. You divide it. So he says, okay. So he slices off the head of the chicken and he gives it to the host. He slices off the legs of the chicken and he gives it to the daughters. He slices off to the sons. He slices off the wings and he gives it to the daughters. Remember what he gave the wife? Nope, the body he took for himself.
The head is for
the head was for the host. I don't remember what he gave the wife.
Wings?
No, the wings are for the daughters.
I guess that the feet were gone also.
The feet he gave to the sons, and the rest of the chicken he took to himself. So they said, what's the logic in that? So he said, your sons are, they stand up the house. They're the pillars of the house. I gave them the two legs that stand up the chicken. Your daughters are going to get married and fly away. I gave them the wings. You're the head of the house. I gave you the head. I don't remember what he gave the wife. He said, and the rest of the body is a cavity. It's a cavity just like a ship is a cavity. I came here on a ship. I'm going to leave her on a ship. Give me my father's money and let me go. So he passed test three. They gave him the money. Another story the Medrash quotes is that people came from Jerusalem and the host decided he wants to check them out. So he, one of the guests, he put him on a bed where the legs were broken. Two legs were broken and he leaned it against the wall. And then he laid down in the room next door and he listened to the guests talking. So the guests go to sleep and he's lying down in the room next door and he's listening. So the first guest from Jerusalem says, that was an amazing meal. Unbelievable. I'm sorry. The first guest says, you guys think I'm lying on a bed. I'm not. This is a trick. This is a bed that has only two legs and it's leaning against the wall. I'm going to shift and the bed will collapse under me. So the next guest says, that's not so bad. The wine our host served was from dead people. So there are worse things in the world. So the third guest says, that's not so bad. The meat he served us was from, had the taste of dogs. So the fourth guest says, that's not so bad. Our host thinks his father's his father and his mother's his mother. He doesn't know he's a bastard. His father's not who he thinks he is. So the guy is lying in the room next door and he says, well, one guy told the truth, but the other three are liars. They say they're from Jerusalem. They know what's going on. They don't know what's going on. So fine. He leaves. The next day he wants to test. He goes to the guy who sold him the wine. And he tells him, I'd like to buy from you some wine. He says, I'm all out. He says, no. I want from you the wine you sold me yesterday. That wine only, and only that wine. He says, no, I can't. He says, why can't you? He says, look, you came and pressured me. I was all out. So I went. There's I have one grapevine that grows on my father's grave. And I don't usually make wine from those grapes. But you were pressed. You asked me yesterday, so I gave you wine from those grapes. But I don't usually sell wine from the grapes that were growing on my father's grape. He said, all my other grapevines grow elsewhere, and that's where I sell my wine from. So the guy mutters as he goes out, okay, they got two things right, but on the other two, they're dead wrong. He goes back to the guy who sold him the meat, and he says, tell me, I want from the meat you sold me yesterday. He says, I don't have any more of that meat. He says, no. I want to know, what was that meat you sold me yesterday? He said, I'll tell you, I had sheep, and the mother died, and I didn't have any way to feed the baby, so I put the baby, until I could slaughter it, I put it to nurse from a dog. And I was nursing from the dog, and I saw it wasn't going to work, so I finally slaughtered the sheep, and that was the sheep I gave you yesterday. I don't have any more of that meat. So he says, they were right, I'm three, but what's going to be with the fourth? So he runs back to his mother's house, and he says, Ma, who's my father? His mother says, son, what do you mean? You know who your father is. He says, no, tell me the truth. Who's my father? She says, what are you asking? You know who your father is. He draws his sword and he says, Ma, I'm not leaving this house till you tell me the truth. Who is my father? And she says, okay, sit down. Your father couldn't have kids. And he was getting old. And he was very wealthy. And his brothers were talking, who would marry me after he dies in order to take all his wealth? And I saw this was going to happen. So I went and I got pregnant, not from him. Didn't I do a good thing for you, son? I gave you all this wealth. Just because I made sure you came to the world. You got your father's wealth instead of one of your uncles getting all of it. So come on, I did you a favor. So the guy mutters and he walks out. He says, I took in guests from Jerusalem. They tell me my bed's not my bed that I knew. But then they tell me my wine's not wine. My meat's not meat. And now I discover that I'm not who I think I am. So he convinced the people in the city to make a pact not to let people in from Jerusalem. They were too scared that these guys were too brilliant. So that's the next story from Jerusalem. The Medrash keeps going and telling us stories about the brilliance of the people of Yerushalayim. We know the story of the children, right? The path, the long path, which is short, the short path, which is long. Yes, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah was a great sage. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah would be summoned by the Romans they would take his counsel. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah was a great astronomer. He knew the sun, the moon, and all the stars. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah was the one that when the early Christians would want to debate verses, they would debate with him. That's the Rabbi Yeshua, the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan, who carried him out of the temple, as we're going to learn in our stories of the destruction. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, he said, in all my debates, no one ever won me, except for little children. I was once on my way to a city, and there was a fork in the road and a kid sitting by the fork. And I asked the kid, which road should I take to get to the city? And he said, this side is the short path, which is the long path. And this side is the long path, which is the short path. I looked at him and didn't understand what he said. So I took the short path, which was the long path. I went down that road and it looked like I was getting right up to the city. Well, I got right close to the city and suddenly I saw vineyards and fences and walls and I saw the city right there. I came back to the kid and I said, what'd you just tell me? So the kid said, I told you the truth. This is the short path. That's the long path. And this is the long path. That's the short path. And then I realized I took the long path and that led me straight into the city. It was the long path, but it was the short path because I went down that road and it led me straight into the gates. It was smooth. He once walked by a child from Jerusalem who had a pot with a towel over it. He asked the child, what's in the pot? The child said, if my mother would have wanted you to know, she wouldn't have put a towel over it. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah had stories about children from Jerusalem who outsmarted him. And this is Rabbi Yeshua who could debate verses. But when he spoke to the children, the children of Jerusalem, Rabati Vagoyim, Jerusalem was known throughout the nations that Jerusalem was exceptional in the brilliance of its people. Chazal tell us that even a person who is learned, when he comes to Eretz Yisrael and to Yerushalayim, it makes him smarter. The air just makes him smarter. The air of Israel, and Jerusalem is the apex of Israel. They had two academies, one in Ashdod and one in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was for the top students. Ashdod was for the students who were bastards. If people were mamzerim, it wasn't their fault. Their mother committed adultery or incest or who knows what. So the child ends up being a mamzer. It's not his fault. He did nothing wrong. King Solomon says, Dim'ata shukim. He says, I see the tear of those who were wronged, who were taken advantage of. Ven le menachem, and I don't see anyone who could comfort them. Shlomo HaMelech complains about this. It's one of the things that bothers him in Kohelet. But nonetheless, they could not attend the academies of Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, you had purity, you had holiness. These children, unfortunately, were tainted. Not their fault. A kid whose mother does crack when she's pregnant, it's not his fault that he has birth defects. A kid whose mother drinks alcohol while she's pregnant, it's not his fault that he's deformed. But there's a reality. A parent can affect the child. By the same token, there's a spiritual reality. Parents can affect their children. It's not their fault. But Hashem created a world where people can affect one another. So, Rabbati Vagoyim, Jerusalem was known to be great among the nations. Bachotiv Kebalaila, she weeps at night. When a person weeps at night, then everyone could hear them. When the spies came back that night of Tisha B'Av, and they continued what happened in the Garden of Eden, they continued speaking badly about Hashem, they continued complaining about the gift Hashem gave us, the land of Israel. So that was the night of Tisha B'Av. And the Jewish people bought into it, and they started complaining and weeping that night. And Hashem said, Atem bechitem bechiyah shel chinam, you wept needlessly. I will establish this night as a night of permanent weeping for generations. And that was the night of Tisha B'Av. Chazal say when Hashem wanted to punish us, so what's it similar to? A king says, whoever goes over this decree will get stoned with this huge boulder. And then his son transgresses the decree. So he goes to his favorite advisor and he says, what can I do? I said, whoever does it will be stoned by this boulder. So his advisor says, break the boulder into little stones and throw them at him one at a time. And then you'll do your decree, you'll throw the boulder, but you'll do it piecemeal, slowly. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam said after we transgressed with the golden calf and the spies. So Hashem said, how am I going to let them stay around? Moshe Rabbeinu said, every time you punish them, put in a little bit of punishment of what they did with the golden calf and the spies. You'll add a little bit. We're still paying the bill of the golden calf and the spies. That's
make the pebbles a little smaller.
Right. Maybe we have to behave better. You know. So that's Bachot Tivkeh Balayla. Israel continues to weep on this night. Galeta Yehuda Meoni. The first temple people were transgressing three transgressions, right? Avodah Zarah, there was paganism, there was murder, there was people were cheating, people were having men sleeping with men, there was real problems. Galeta Yehuda Meoni, people were afflicting the poor, people were taking advantage of the widows and the orphan, there was no justice in Jerusalem. We hear these things, it sounds horrific, and we wonder what would be in our day. Until my friends were challenged with the legal system in the country, I didn't have it. I never understood how important it was to pray, Hashiva Shofetenu Kivarishona, that Hashem should reinstate justice in the land of Israel. It's part of our growth. In order for things to go right here, the legal system has to be just. Our sages say that throughout our history, if it's the Spanish Inquisition, if it's different pogroms, if it's different decrees that were against us, throughout our history, as we will learn, Be'ezrat Hashem, not next Thursday, the following week, the tragedies that befell us were very often in this period, between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and the end of the month of Av. Okay.